D-Maze Finnegan and Donick 102.5, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, and David Janes here with you. We hope you are having a wonderful Wednesday, a beautiful October 1st in our fair city. Willie Donick glowing this afternoon. I can only imagine it has something to do with the result of the Red Sox-Yankees game last night.
Look, I am not a true Red Sox fan. I do enjoy the Red Sox. I was born in Boston.
But you hate Yankees.
And we have the mutual, the Red Sox and Mets have the mutual, which is part of the reason I was allowed into my in-laws' family, because of the mutual dislike. Red Sox fans do not like the Mets at all, but they do have the collective hatred of the Yankees.
They can stomach.
As it should be.
They can stomach
like
the
any
Mets
good
run. Yes. When it comes to the Yankees.
Right. And especially now that 86 is in the rear view, the 86 World Series, the Bill Buckner and all that, because since then, the Red Sox have won four titles. And that was the interesting thing about last night's game. The Red Sox hung on and beat the Yankees at Yankee Stadium 3-1 with the Yankees' former closer, Aroldis Chapman, closing out the bottom of the ninth, in which he allowed three consecutive base runners to get on with nobody out. In the past, that would have been the absolute recipe for disaster for any Red Sox fan, because it would have been the inevitable, here comes the next chapter and the Yankees ripping the heart out of the Red Sox fans. In fact, Ben Affleck has a new documentary that ESPN is promoting all throughout their day of coverage of the playoffs, just about that pain that Red Sox fans felt for 86 years that you don't have anymore. And so there was a stat that you shared with me yesterday, Adam, on the rarity of what happened last night.
The Yankees are the first team in Major League Baseball postseason history to have the bases loaded with nobody out in the bottom of the ninth but not score a run and lose the game.
Whew. You would think. Now, baseball postseason has been happening for over 100 years.
Yes.
And that has never happened in a postseason game? That's crazy.
But you could just see the switch. Once everybody got on base, it's just like Chapman just switched. And it was like, all right, my arm's warm, enough playing around with y'all. And he was just zinging it right down the middle.
But
I'm
my
like,
point,
goodness.
My point, Willie, is I know that your baseball heart is a little cold right now because
yes,
your Mets blew it.
They blew it.
But to see
an
the Yankees
epic collapse.
To see the Yankees blow it in the postseason, it had to warm that heart. Just
well, it ain't over
bit.
Yet.
It's
just
not over
bit.
Yet.
Yes.
Not over
we'll see
yet.
What happens tonight.
They play again at 5 o'clock. Meanwhile, you know I love updates, Adam.
Okay.
You and I were just listening a minute ago, and the Cleveland Guardians have just erupted with a 3-run home run
Son
to
of a-
blow open a very tight game with Detroit. It is now 6-1. That is Bo Naylor, who just went deep for a 3-run shot. It was a 1-1 game going into the bottom of the eighth, and the Guardians have scored 5. Adam, you and I were in the car. We recorded Preds Insiders, grabbed something to eat, came back, and I was listening to Tom Hamilton, who was a fantastic play-by-play announcer for Cleveland. They hit a go-ahead homer in the bottom of the eighth, so Joe Rexrode and Jake Lyman are not very happy right now. That series looks like it's on the way to a third and deciding game tomorrow, and the Padres have an early 1-0 lead in Wrigley Field against the Cubs, trying to even that series at 1 and force a deciding game 3.
We'll throw it to our update anchor, Willie Donick, again at some point during the program.
You just let me know, Adam, and I will be ready.
I know you
know
are.
Why? I love baseball.
I know you love baseball. And Titans fans hate football right now. At least the football that's being played here in Nashville, because the Titans, we know what they are. Their booty, their cheeks, they ass.
Glutes.
They glutes, as Trevor Maddich said yesterday. Their derriere, whatever word you want to use for butt, that is what the Titans are. The Titans are butt. But, to that butt, Brian Callahan was asked today about how Cam Ward is handling losing, because Cam Ward isn't used to losing. I believe the Miami Hurricanes went 10-3 last season. His teams at Washington State were average, but I can't imagine he's been in too many situations in his football playing life where he has been on a team as bad as the one he plays for right now. And Derek, you were listening to Brian Callahan's news conference live, and you pointed this out. You said you wanted us to play what Brian Callahan said. David, do we have that clip? Let's play Brian Callahan discussing how Cam Ward has been handling losing.
How do you deal with him in terms of those things that he is not used to?
Yeah, he's still he's a young player. You know, he's the number one overall pick. He's the face of a franchise, if you will. He's got high expectations for himself. We have high expectations around him, and we all want to meet those. And his ability to be in that spotlight in that moment, I think, is a growing process for him. I think he's growing up. I think he's starting to understand the weight of his words, what those things mean when he speaks and everyone's listening and watching. And then even though he says, you know, he follows up the commentary with a lot of the right things, it's the one-liner that gets taken. And, you know, he's learning how to deal with you guys and how to understand, how to have those conversations and still you know, maintain the image that he wants to maintain as a starting quarterback. So growing up is not always easy, and I think there's some things that he's learning along the way, just like we all do.
That was Brian Callahan earlier today discussing how Cam Ward has been handling the losing that's been going on. And as Brian Callahan mentioned, the one clip has gone viral. It's ended up on all of the talk shows around ESPN and NFL Network, and you know, Warren Moon, who of course gave Cam Ward his number, did a couple of radio interviews this week and said he wishes Cam Ward hadn't said what he said after the game. Derek said he wished that Cam Ward hadn't said that. Shannon Sharp, we played that clip yesterday, said he wished that Cam Ward would have handled it differently. But Derek, what did you like about those comments from Brian Callahan on Cam Ward?
I think he showed that, or he was trying to relate to everyone that had listened. Cam and I talked, and he has to understand. And he said it in a way where it wasn't like he was scolding Cam Ward or calling him out or anything else. That's what it should look like coming from the quarterback all the time in every situation. Why? Because everybody's watching. You know, Brian Callahan, one reason he's going viral is not just because of his play, but because of what happened in interviews. The way he addressed interviews. The way it seems like he's letting Paul get to him. That's what, you know, is being put out there, the frustration of Brian Callahan. Can he handle the Nashville media, so to speak? You don't want that to be what people are thinking. You don't want the story to become you. Cam allowed, and it's not like he did it on purpose, but he, as he grows in his game and develop from a leadership standpoint, he will understand under no circumstance should the leader of the team sound that defeated. Never. Certain words should not be used when describing your team, because we expect that from our head coaches as well. And when the head coach go outside of that, what happens? We all get mad as players. We get mad, upset. That's something for in-house. Or you could have said it a different way. It's all about, when you're the leader, it's all about putting out the best of yourself in interviews under any circumstance, especially when it has to deal with the team. And I know it's hard. A lot of times it's hard, especially after losses. But he's going to understand that, hey, listen, no matter win or loss, I have to be an even keel. Watch all the great ones. Manning, Breeze, Brady, you know, all those guys that you consider elite quarterbacks. If you listen to them, you don't know whether they won or lost. They're just talking. It seems like they never get frustrated. They may be upset, yeah, but they don't allow the media to see the frustration. Why? Because now the story becomes about you, the leader. Brian said it. He is the face of the organization, and he has to understand his words means a lot when it comes to the city of Nashville in regards to this team. So he just has to be, again, I love the passion and everything else. I'm not scolding him or anything, but he has to learn, and he will, that some things are better left not said or expressed the way you really want to express them.
Your word choice is important. Mm-hmm. And I'm patting ourselves on the back because I think we have been all over this both Monday and Tuesday. And we talked about it before it started to grow into what it is now. But how ironic is it? Because Brian Callahan, what we just played there, is exactly right. They took the snippet and not the overall message, which I think was a positive message of, I'm passionate, I care, I'm accountable, I hate to lose. All of that is great. It's just the one word that he chose ends up being what everybody's talking about. But I find it ironic because Brian Callahan has not followed a good playbook with media relations, not on that specific thing, but on many other things where he has fallen into a lot of traps that a young head coach can do, and he has not helped himself with that. When the overlying story of the team, to me, they are losing way more because of their roster issues. They are not losing because they are poorly coached. They are certainly not helping themselves with how they are coaching, but they're losing because they have a bad roster. But because Callahan has worsened some things that didn't have to be made worse, he has only hurt his reputation and his label even more.
One texter on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, my gosh, Cam made a simple mistake with his choice of words 3 days ago. Let it die. When the number one overall pick at quarterback says something unquarterback-like, it is worth discussing. And the clip we played from Brian Callahan was less about that comment and more about how Cam Ward, again, is handling losing. As I said, I don't know all of the records of all of Cam Ward's teams. I know the Hurricanes went 10-3 last season. His teams at Washington State, I think combined, were 500, maybe a game or two off. So it's not like he hasn't lost before, but I have to imagine this is the most sustained losing that he has done. And when you are the number one overall pick in the draft, and your responsibility is to help turn around the franchise, and you're struggling, the team is struggling, and you get so frustrated that you say something that I think a lot of people would consider out of character, that is a story. We're not going to – look, I'm going to say we ass anytime this team loses because he said it and I think it's funny. But I do think the larger point of how Cam Ward is handling this situation – because he is the leader of the team, I do think that's important.
Yeah, it is important. And again, it's not something that is going to, you know, sidetrack his career or anything. But I think when a team is in a situation that the Titans have found themselves in, and it doesn't seem like it's going to get any better, you as the leader don't need to add more fuel or more logs to the fire. You don't need to do it. What you're trying to do as a leader is you're trying to douse that fire as much as you possibly can. And you do that, why? With how you play on the field, how you sort of answer some of these questions. But instead, not on purpose, and it wasn't intent to be malicious or anything, he added logs to the fire, which has now become or has been the story. Again, you don't want to become a meme, and that's what that has become. You know, you even said anytime, hey, you have a right now, because Cam said it, you have a right legally to say, y'all ass, because Cam said it. He said, we are, meaning the Titans.
Yep.
Or you know what? So you've given carte blanche to everybody to refer to your organization as that. I know that's not what he intended for it to end up. That's why you have to be very careful in situations like this, organizations where your wording means everything in this business.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Coming up next, Sports Illustrated played armchair GM around the NFL, suggesting one trade every NFL team should make before the 2025 trade deadline, which is roughly a month away. And multiple Titans players were mentioned, not just in the Tennessee section. So here's what we're going to do. Would we make the deals that Sports Illustrated suggests for the Tennessee Titans? We will do that next. 615-737-1025. DVD is proudly presented by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate right now at baxhomeworks.com. D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 1025. The game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Michael and Madison on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, in all fairness to Cam, we have no idea how he would react to a win in the NFL yet. He seems like the kind of guy to not get too high after a win and not too low after a loss. But we've got no evidence of the former to base the comparison off of yet. Dustin in Hopkinsville says, he's not making on-the-field memes, so I'm good.
See, and that's the part that, you know, sort of unfortunate, but I get it. When you're not winning, you know, people don't care about the other stuff. Just get the, you know, the product on the field fixed. But the other stuff allows you to, you know, have a path to success on the field. The leadership, and that's what I'm talking about. It's the growing leadership that Cam is developing that will allow them to grow on the field and win on the field. Along with adding more talent. So when it comes to a quarterback, all of this stuff means so much. Why do you think these guys get so scrutinized during the draft? They look at everything. They don't care. Why? Because you are the face of a billion-plus-dollar organization. Any team in the NFL, $1 billion, that's where we're starting. And you are the face of it. You are to carry this organization. So everything that you do as a quarterback especially means something. It shows direction of your team and where your team's at and where your team's not. You know, so, again, I get his frustration, and this is not about, you know, oh, Cam, you – no, it's just about him growing and saying, hey, you can be upset, but there's a way you have to – as the leader of this team, Brian Selle, you're the face of this organization. As the face of this organization – It's your duty to make sure that you don't get that frustrated to where you use words that then are used against you and your team.
So we've talked a lot about what the Titans should do before the early November NFL trade deadline, because let's face it, the season is over. Yes, the Titans have 13 more games left to play, but they're 0-4. They're not going anywhere. So Sports Illustrated played armchair GM around the NFL and suggested one trade every NFL team should make before the upcoming NFL trade deadline. Four Titans players were mentioned in this exercise, one of which is, you know, the Titans had to make a trade. But there were three other teams that the armchair GMs at Sports Illustrated suggested should acquire a member of the Tennessee Titans. So let's just start with the trade they suggested for the Titans to make. Sports Illustrated suggested the Titans trade Arden Key to the San Francisco 49ers for a sixth-round pick. Fine, whatever. That seems reasonable, right? Sixth-round pick for Arden Key?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I take it.
Here were the three others. The authors of the story suggested that the Chicago Bears trade a second-round pick for Jeffrey Simmons. And based on what we've discussed over the past couple of days, I'm not accepting just a second-round pick for Jeffrey Simmons.
No. That's a pass. I'll wait it out.
It's just, I mean, I'm not completely shutting the door on it because, again, it's do you want to keep him and think he's going to be a part of your future moving forward, or are you going to say, you know what, I'm going to take this high second-round pick and maybe something else, and let's make this move while we can, because this is after this, it's gone. The ability to trade and get the value that you want, the highest value, it's gone.
A second round pick just doesn't do it for me. Based on what we've discussed over the past couple of days, I think at the moment Jeffrey Simmons is more valuable than a second round pick. But they suggest at Sports Illustrated that the Bears should send a second round pick to the Titans for Jefferson.
Well, they should.
They should.
If the Titans would say yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not sure the Titans are gonna say two. Yeah.
Like that's not full value for Jeffrey Simmons.
Now here is one that if this were to happen, I would do a cartwheel in the studio, and nobody wants to see that. But if this were to happen,
is there enough room in this studio to do a cartwheel?
I kind of want to see it happen.
I think there could be.
I mean,
it's got to be a tight cartwheel.
We got to move a lot of chairs.
Yes, there are a lot of chairs.
I think you can do
here.
It, though.
But if this were to happen, I would do a cartwheel. SI suggested that the Los Angeles Rams trade a conditional third-round pick for L'Jarius Sneed. If a team is willing to give you that, I will drive L'Jarius Sneed to the airport myself.
I would agree. I think you would do that in a heartbeat. Get the pick back for him.
Right, because it was a third round pick, correct? To acquire him?
Yeah.
Their rationale was the Rams might be a cornerback away from becoming real threats to the Eagles and Lions in the NFC. The secondary got exposed by Jalen Hurts in Week 3, and the weapons in Detroit could do the same. Now, Sneed might no longer be as good as he was in Kansas City, but it's worth the hassle for the Rams to find out whether he can regain his top form. Sneed is only 28, and there's a potential out on his contract next year in case it doesn't work out in Los Angeles. But with better support than what he has had in Tennessee, it wouldn't be shocking to see Sneed have a career revival with a team as good as the Rams.
I mean, listen, it just depends on how the Rams or how close the Rams feel they are. And because at this point he's not playing well. So does a cornerback that's not playing well that has to be managed with injury, is he worth the pick that you're willing to give up? If I'm a GM, I don't know. What was the pick again?
A conditional third round pick for
him. I'm not sure if I'm giving up a conditional third round pick for him, man. He's damaged goods, but he hasn't played well either.
That's my point. If a team is willing to give
a conditional
third-round pick for L'Jarius Sneed,
but I don't think nobody would be willing to do it.
I will see him off myself.
Oh, of course. Take it.
Absolutely. Yes. And the final trade involving the Titans, according to Sports Illustrated's armchair GMs, the Washington Commanders trade a fifth-round pick for Tony Pollard.
Washington, who, fifth round?
Is a fifth-round pick good value for Tony Pollard?
I think at this stage of his career,
I might try to get a
conditional that can move to a fourth, but realistically,
he may not get.
I think that's about right. And I would consider it, even though at a certain point, it depends on how many other trades you're making, but you want to remember the fundamental rules. Does this help me get my quarterback what he needs? And that's a tricky one, because Tony Pollard is doing a lot of things right now, and it's not just run the ball. He is a guy that if you watch, Tony Pollard is doing a lot of things, moving around, picking up blitzes, he is helping Cam Ward right now. I would be tempted, because every draft pick is a throw at the dartboard, and it's a chance to get another good player. Even though your odds are getting a really impactful player in rounds 5, 6, and 7 go pretty far down once you get past the first 100 or so picks. But it's a shot, and they need shots.
They need a lot of them.
Yeah.
Because
Tony Pollard will not be on the next really good Titans team.
He may not be on the team next year.
Yeah, and he's a solid pro that can help somebody.
Yeah.
Let's go to Antonio on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Antonio, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I'm just calling to tell you, I'm an old school Titans fan. When we first got here in 99, 98, I was in eighth grade. And when I speak this, I say this with heart. The Titans, they start, you're not supposed to do good to be successful. We come from a it's kind of like an old school culture. You know, we have to have like an old school coach or an old school offensive coordinator, so forth and so forth. You know, we was winning then. You know, with Derrick Mason, of course. You know, I'm so glad that we had him and Steve in there, Eddie George and all them. Then we, after they left, we sucked. You know, for a couple of years because we was trying to figure out what we wanted to do. Who can we get in to bring in and win the culture? Then we brought in John Robinson and Vrabel. We started winning again, you know, because they have that old school mentality. Then they let them go. And now we brought in.
Thank you for the call, Antonio. Your phone is breaking up.
Yeah. I'm not sure what he was trying to necessarily, you know, get at. I get that those teams and a lot of people, you know, missed those teams. But it, to me, it was they've had teams since, but it's been far and few between. And people want so bad for this team to be that next team. But at this juncture, they don't have enough, and they don't have enough to give away to try to get enough to build this team the way as quickly as I think the fans want them, because they have they don't have, with the exception of what, two or three that are, maybe two, one that would net them anything above a fourth.
So let's quickly recap here. This was on SportsIllustrated.com. It was an article written by Matt Verderame and Gilberto Manzano.
Two of their
staff writers, in addition to Connor Orr and Albert Breer. And what they did is they went through every team in the NFL and proposed one trade every NFL team should make before the 2025 deadline. So based on what those two are suggesting, the Titans would net a second-round pick for Jeffrey Simmons, a conditional third-round pick for L'Jarius Sneed, a sixth-round pick for Arden Key, and a fifth-round pick for Tony Pollard. Let's say all of that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say the Titans make those exact deals with those exact teams, and they end up with a second, a conditional third, which I assume could become a second, a sixth-round pick, and a fifth-round pick. Would that be a satisfying, successful trade deadline for you?
I think it would be, because we anticipate this team, based on how they looked the first four games, to maybe win one, two possibly. So you're sitting at 1-7, 2-6. You're not going anywhere. So if somebody's willing to give up that for those guys, the Jeffrey Simmons thing, I'm still trying to push for a first-round pick. I'm still trying to push for a first-round pick. But if they're willing to give all that on a team that is not going to – give it here. Give it here.
Let's go to Mike in Gallatin on our phone line. Mike, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. I definitely understand the desire to try to acquire as many draft picks as we possibly can. And while I don't think this roster that we have is exactly helping Cam Ward develop or anything else like that, but are we helping Cam Ward by trading away our entire team and having him bring in guys? Because I mean, assuming you trade all those guys away, we'd have to go digging in the waiver wire for Lord knows who. And I feel like we're just only pushing him further down the line. Is it something that we could consider benching Cam Ward or holding him off? I mean, like, what's the timeline after we do all this? Because I feel like we're only hurting him by taking away his weapons, if you want to call him that.
Thank you for the call, Mike.
It's a fair point that I think has to be considered when you're doing all this, which is why I gave hesitation a little bit with Pollard, depending on what the offer is. You would have to feel okay about what you have. Now, you notice we're not talking about trading offensive linemen. We're not talking about trading any of the receivers right now. So I do think it is considered when you're making any deal. But the extra picks are what are long-term going to help Cam Ward. The issue of do you ever consider sitting him is one that, it to me, is not on the table now. But I wouldn't rule it out down the road if he just gets so battered and they don't feel like they can protect him which has already been a problem, but I'm still hoping, I'm hopeful that they can get Latham back. I just saw that they picked up a tackle on the waiver wire, that they're going to try to fortify that and give him a chance. Let's just hope that they don't get to a point where they're like, we're waving the white flag, we just don't want to put him in harm's way anymore. It would have to get another level or two.
Everybody would be fired if that happened.
Yeah.
615-737-1025. Sports Illustrated suggests one trade every NFL team should make before the trade deadline, which is in roughly a month. Here are the trades they suggest that involve the Titans. Jeffrey Simmons to the Bears for a second-round pick. Legarius Sneed to the Rams for a conditional third-round pick. Arden Key to the 49ers for a sixth-round pick. And Tony Pollard to the Commanders for a fifth-round pick. Let's say all of these trades were to happen. How would you feel? Would you be satisfied by the returns on those deals? 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will get your reaction next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Talking an article in Sports Illustrated where the author suggested one trade every NFL team should make before the 2025 trade deadline, which is in roughly a month. The Tennessee Titans, or players for the Tennessee Titans, I should say, were mentioned four times. Here's a recap. Jeffrey Simmons to the Chicago Bears for a second-round pick. Legarius Sneed to the Rams for a conditional third-round pick. Arden Key to the 49ers for a sixth-round pick. Tony Pollard to the Commanders for a fifth-round pick. Would you accept that? 615-737-1025. Let's go to Brandon on our phone line. Brandon, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Good, thanks.
Okay, I saw the trade proposal for Jeffrey Simmons. I just think that's too low.
I agree.
Me personally, I feel like Jeffrey Simmons right now is playing like the best defensive tackle in the league. So that being said, he deserves, for a trade like that, no less than a first rounder, and I will push for at least a first and a third. That's how I view somebody that's valuable as Jeffrey Simmons. You know, now the Legarius Sneed trade, now I would take that in a heartbeat. A conditional third rounder, man, I'd take that quick. To be honest with you, I doubt we get that, though, but I'd trade him away. Pollard, he's too valuable. You know, I would say trade Pollard away for a conditional fourth rounder. Fifth rounder straight up, you know, he's just too good of a player. I know you can kind of get out on his contract, but still, like, we don't have any, you know, just real contributing running back. Because Tajay Spears just coming off injury. I don't know how good he's going to be, you know. But Legarius Sneed, take that trade within a heartbeat. Jeffrey Simmons, man, we got to get more for him. But, hey, shout out to D. Mason, man. I grew up watching you, man, when I was a kid, man, you know, with the Titans and the Ravens. And it's just an honor hearing from you, man. And I'm a diehard Titans fan, man. I've been a Titans fan all my life, man. So, but that's what I think, though. We need to get better draft capital. And I'm going to throw this out there, man. Get rid of Chad Brinker and make Mike Borgonzi the head of Titans football.
Well, thank you, Brandon. Mike Borgonzi just got here. I know that Chad Brinker is a popular target right now. Michael in Madison says he would drive Sneed all the way to Los Angeles if the Titans got a third for him. I just suggested the airport.
He's going all the way.
I'm not driving nobody. No, you pick him up.
No, I am not doing a cross-country road trip.
Oh, man.
You don't like the cross-country driving to begin with, Adam?
He don't like driving over 2 hours.
No,
I mean, he should be lucky he's getting a trip to the airport.
Exactly.
I think he'd rather fly to Legarius. But, you know, for some of these guys, Pollard, mm-hmm. Sneed, you know, I think they will be loyal to the team, but they might be, I don't know if this gets feedback through the agent, they might enjoy jumping on a bandwagon and be motivated to jump on the Rams and try to help and see if they can contend with him in there. You know, that's what you hope for when you trade for a player,
yeah,
for a veteran player.
I think, you know, every veteran player that's on a team that doesn't look like they're going to be winning anytime soon, you know, wants to get an opportunity, you know, while they can to win. So, you know, I'm sure if that trade was proposed to the Titans and they asked LeJarius Sneed, I guarantee you he would have his bags packed already, headed out here to Los Angeles to go to the Rams. Because why? They are a playoff caliber team.
Ricky says, I own a car service. Load them all up. I'll drive.
Man, y'all ready to get rid of all these cats. But that's where they're that's where the Titans are at this point in time. Where you don't have a you don't have a good team. You have few assets worth, you know, trading, and even the assets that's worth trading, all but one will not yield you truthfully. I know the trade proposals that were put out there, but realistically, the only one that would come close to that or probably surpass that is Jeffrey Simmons. Everybody else, unfortunately.
Right, you're just taking what you can get.
Exactly. That's what it's going to be.
Ron on our text line says teams that may only need one more piece to make a run will give a better deal for Jeffrey Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Skyler says, if you could get a third or even a fourth for Sneed, I would drive his ass to whichever city needs him. A lot of people are willing to carpool with LeJarius Sneed for a conditional third round pick as proposed by Sports Illustrated. Now, there are a couple of texts in here. Let me see if I can find the first one. Here it is. We get this text every time we have this conversation. How can anyone trust the Titans picking talent? I think they've shown they have no idea who to pick and how to identify talent. At least we know what these players are at this point. I get it. I get it, guys. You've been scarred by the Tennessee Titans draft record in recent years. I totally understand it. You have every right to feel that way.
So what? But what is the alternative? Don't pick?
Right.
Let them pick.
You're not going to make a bad pick if you don't pick. That makes no sense at all. You have to think about that answer as you type it. And I get the thought. Morale is down. They've had terrible drafts, as we've pointed out. But you have to keep going. Well, it's there's only one place you can get talent.
Got to keep stepping up the bat.
Yes. The alternative, there are no alternatives. The alternative is, let's not make a pick.
You can do that.
I mean,
but that's what, they might upset. As well done. Might as well have done that when they picked Isaiah Wilson.
Yeah,
we're not picking.
Right.
I mean, you would have been just as good by saying we're passing.
And Caleb Williams,
Caleb Farley, yeah. For that matter, yeah.
Caleb Farley, not Caleb Williams.
I mean, the Titans could take Homer Simpson's advice, which is you tried your best and you failed miserably. The lesson is never try.
Or they can just draft Homer Simpson.
Exactly.
See how that goes.
He may get more snaps in than Isaiah Wilson. Let's go to David on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
I've been a Titans fan for 20 years, and I have been through it all. I just wonder if we're talking about the rookie quarterback and his best friend is a running back. I just wonder what would have happened. What do you think would have happened if we would have kept Derrick Henry? And is Tony Pollard worth hanging on to because of the same reason, giving the rookie quarterback some support?
Thank you, David.
I think this will always, like, this is going to be one of these, you know, what if things that people are going to bring up maybe 10, 15 years down the line. What if the Titans have kept Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, and had Cam Ward?
Danico Autry.
Oh my goodness! Oh, they would
Kevin Byard.
They would have been. Oh, but they would have been. They would have been good. I get it, but maybe not, because a lot of those guys outside of Derrick Henry, who has just been this sort of Iron Man when it comes to the running back position, he's a throwback. That's what Derrick Henry is, but. Anybody outside of Derrick Henry, all those guys, well, A.J. Brown too. Those two guys, everybody else, I mean, they were not going to be, even Derrick Henry to an extent, I would say. We had seen the best of Derrick Henry here because of how the team was made up. Regardless if you would have kept him and got Cam Ward, it still would have been the same thing. You losing games, because that's what happened when Derrick Henry was here and you had a better roster, you still were losing game. Why? Because the roster wasn't good. It was depreciating by the game. And look what they're at now. So I understand, man, if Derrick was here, I look back and say if Derrick was here, how good this team would probably be. But, I mean, you can't hold on to that. The team had to – they didn't have to move on, but they chose to move on because they felt Derrick Henry – you know, this is one they miscalculated. I don't think they miscalculated anything else outside of him because I'm not counting AJ. But I'm just saying as far as letting somebody go and not re-signing him.
And drafting and developing and retaining, which is something I think I've heard come out of the Tennessee Titans facility once or twice or 200 times – drafting, developing, and retaining is how you become a good team. And the Titans haven't really done any of that. So I understand the point that why trade Jeffrey Simmons? He's playing like one of the best defensive linemen in the league right now, which I would agree with. He's been playing incredibly well. And we know what Jeffrey Simmons is. But if you trade him for a second round pick and a third round pick, you're just going to be looking for the next Jeffrey Simmons. And what are the chances one of those picks becomes the next Jeffrey Simmons? I get all that. I get it. But this team is in dire straits. And whether it's Jeffrey Simmons or Tony Pollard or L'Jarius Sneed or Arden Key, who are the players mentioned in this article on SportsIllustrated.com, you can add in other ones if you want. Trading those, like, you're not getting any better with those players on your team. It's not happening. So you have to look toward the future, which means some more lean years. And Titans fans, I know you don't want to experience any more lean years because this team, if my math is right, since the win at Green Bay before that long losing streak to end that season.
When they went to 7-3 in the win over Green Bay on the Thursday night.
Yes, the Titans are 9-36. 9-36.
Damn.
I believe every other team in the NFL has at least 12 wins over that span.
That tells you how
9-36. So I know you don't want to watch any more bad football. I know I am prone to hyperbole. The game on Sunday against the Texans may have been the worst football game I've ever watched. It's painful to watch these games. You feel like you're wasting your life watching the Tennessee Titans play football right now. But the way out of it is by being proactive, which is why we're talking about this, because the Titans over the next month are going to have some tough decisions to make. And it may involve Jeffrey Simmons. It may involve L'Jarius Sneed again. A lot of you have volunteered to drive L'Jarius Sneed. I don't even have to do that anymore. At least three or four of you have said in the text line, if the Rams offered a conditional third-round pick for L'Jarius Sneed, you would drive him across the country. I sure as hell am not doing that. I would drive him to departures at BNA and leave them there. That's as far as I'm going. But some of you are willing to do the entire cross-country road trip like your Max and Goofy in a Goofy movie, which is a fantastic movie. I don't know why I just mentioned that. But I got to stop. Okay.
You like Disney?
Yes, I do like Disney. I'm on the tangent here.
Eye for Eye.
Yes, Eye for Eye is a great. Eye to Eye. Not
My bad. Eye to Eye.
Eye to Eye.
If you're going to know it, if you're going to say it, you got to know it.
Yes.
I know. That's on me. That's on me. I'm not stopping that one.
All right. I'm going to stop my soliloquy here. Uh-huh. Let's quickly go to Ricky in Nashville on our phone line. Ricky, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
No problem. First, I'd just like to say, Willie, as someone who I met my first week here in Nashville, my love and prayers to you and your family. I haven't had the chance to speak to you.
Thank you, my friend.
Anytime. I want to say here, I think what the GM needs to do is take the hockey approach with the trade deadline. Someone's going to get injured. Someone is going to need a certain player at a certain position and fill it the week of the trade deadline. You're not going to lose anything with Pollard. You can get a running back out of college in the second round. You can grab as many second round picks as you can. I would hold out for a first on Jeffrey Simmons. You have to get something for him because right now he's the only basic star we have left on this team. And one thing I wanted to say, if we kept Derrick Henry, we wouldn't have Cam Ward because we would have won an extra game somewhere down the line in that season. And my last advice is, I enjoy bad football. Just keep betting against the Titans and making money. Money line all the way.
Money line.
There we go. Thank you. That's for you the
never
call,
get tired of
Ricky.
Losing football.
Good stuff.
615-737-1025. B-Man says, so anyway, how about them doors, huh? Don't worry. We will discuss Vanderbilt and Alabama, but we see your reaction on our phone and text line, so we're going to continue this conversation for another segment. Again, Sports Illustrated played Armchair GM. Here are the trades that Sports Illustrated suggested the Titans make in the next month. Jeffrey Simmons to Chicago for a second-round pick. Legarius Sneed to the Rams for a conditional third-round pick. Arden Key to the 49ers for a sixth-round pick. Tony Pollard to the Commanders for a fifth-round pick. Your thoughts. 615-737-1025. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.